Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Well, today the church celebrates what is called All Saints' Day. Now, the origin of this particular day is somewhat unclear, but historical records indicate that Ephraim of Edessa composed a hymn around 359 AD that seems to suggest a commemoration of martyred saints. Different churches in various locations celebrated the passing of those martyred for the faith at different and sundry times. Now, it's interesting that we tend to visualize saints as people who are perfect tens in all areas of life. Flawless, extraordinary, somewhere between angelic beings and ordinary garden variety people. We believe that they somehow live on a superior plane, unsoiled by pettiness, liberated from anger and temper and rage. Our minds think that they would never bend or crack or break in any situation. If burned at the stake, they never feel the heat of the fire. Put in Roman Colosseums, they never feel the bite of the bear or the claws of the lion. And many believe that they have unusual powers, even if they're dead. And then there are the rest of us. Honestly, most saints would never think of themselves as saints. Just ordinary Christians struggling to survive in an ungodly world. They would very well fit Jesus' description in this, what we call the Sermon on the Mount that was read this morning. They include the humble, the poor in spirit, the mourners, the hungry, the meek, the struggling, the hurting. The real saints are not about name-dropping or strength or overconfidence or all-powerfulness. A friend shared this thought with me. These are saints of God. Not because they are great or accomplished or anything close to perfect, but because they are beloved of the Lord and because they have lived in that love. They are saints because they have been baptized into Christ Jesus. They have known and loved Him, and they have walked in His path of humble service. All Saints Sunday is not so much a celebration of mighty acts of faith throughout history. It is a celebration of God's love poured out on real people yesterday, today, and always. So what does a saint look like? How does a saint act? I mean, don't we often say as people that we know, you know, she or he is such a saint? Well, the first thing is that saints worship God. There were two experienced alpine climbers who were ascending the Alps with a novice hiker in between them. And they clawed and climbed their way up this hazardous terrain for hours. And eventually they reached the summit. And the lead experienced climber moved aside so that the young novice could catch the first breathtaking view. Well, the rookie climber jumped to his feet on the mountaintop, completely ignoring the gale winds that were blowing across the peak. And suddenly he was grabbed by one of the experienced climbers and pulled down, with these words ringing in his ears: "On your knees, sir. You are never safe except on your knees." True worship occurs when a person is spiritually on his or her knees in praise and adoration of God. You see, worship is not about us. Worship focuses on God. The human spirit stares directly on God without a blink. Worship honors God. The redeemed can do nothing but honor the one who redeems them through the blood of Jesus. Worship draws us near to God, and His consistent love is that which holds on to us on the roller coaster of our lives. Secondly, a saint understands God's almightiness. The one supreme ruler of the universe is indeed the God of Scriptures. And God's mightiness includes His mighty presence that is always there. That in life's darkest hours, the presence of God will never leave us nor forsake us. God will continually communicate with anyone who has such a desire to do the same with Him. And He establishes contact with people to encourage and to restore and to redirect and redeem and forever give them hope. Secondly, His knowledge and mighty knowledge is always there. Think of this. Billions inhabit this planet, and God knows them all by name, where they live, what's happening in their lives. What an awesome knowledge. What an awesome thought of assurance for us that God knows our name. And God's almighty wisdom. He gives us understanding of the mind, the spirit, the heart, so that we can boast in the Lord that He is the all-wise God. Another characteristic of a saint is that they stand in awe of God. You know, the world's newest high-tech ship, the Titanic, inspired the awe of the turn of the century. His dimensions dwarfed the other sailing vessels of the day. The interior dazzled passengers, and her centerpiece, the grand staircase, crowned this architectural wonder. Polished oak of the ship's wall paneling, all shone brightly from the sun's rays passing through the glass dome. The persona, the awe of the ship, gave the passengers a sense of total security. But the grandeur could not endure the impact of an iceberg off the coast of Halifax. You know, people seem dazzled by the world's glitter of false grandeur, and they pay little attention to the majesty of God. The sparkle of the and glitter of the world offers nothing. It does nothing but litter the ocean floor of the Spirit. A saint's job is to pay close attention to the security of God's grandeur, His magnitude, His creation, mercy, His hope, His happiness, joy, peace, life. And with God as our ship, we know that we will stay afloat for eternity. James Hewlett writes in Illustrations Unlimited about a minister one morning who was preaching about heaven. He came to the end of his sermon and he wanted the crowd's unanimous response to the question, "Don't you want to go to heaven?" And all the people, except this one little boy in the balcony, had raised their hands. So the preacher asked the little fellow, "Why, son, don't you want to go to heaven?" The youngster replied, "Well, sure, I do someday, but I thought you were getting up a load right now." God's saints are ready for eternity. God's saints shun hell. You know, many people today have foolishly stated that if their spouse or their friend is going to hell, then they want to go too. The plain truth is there are no friends in hell. It's just total darkness. St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in his second letter that hell is eternal destruction, exclusion from God, from love, from mercy. He describes it as an intense physical and mental anguish, intense loneliness, separation from everyone we love, intense feeling of permanence, forever intense hopelessness, and no escape. But you see, God offers a free ticket to anyone, a free ticket to heaven. And the ticket is the forgiveness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And the saints' reward is an eternal family reunion. God has planned a fantastic family reunion out of this world. But the reunion isn't about a geographical location. It's about people. Those whom we call brothers and sisters in life that we know that we will never be separated from again. And the one who has planned this outlandish, happy family reunion is God Himself. Jesus made this possible by His death and resurrection for us. And He will be the guest of honor at this great family reunion for all believers. You see, the exciting news too is that heaven at this very moment is preparing for that great homecoming reunion. And the call to us is don't get lost. Finally, saints of God are open to their Lord and Savior. You know, children love to play the game of hide and seek where, you know, a group of boys or girls hide while one of the children tries to find the others. In his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Jim Cimbala says the devil's strategy with the Lord's people seems to be that they don't call, they don't ask, or they don't depend on God to achieve great things in their lives. He says it's similar to the children's game of hide and seek, except it's from God. But Cimbala goes on to say that when a Christian lifts his heart to God, Satan's dominion will be damaged. That defines being open to God. Openness to God admits our dependence on Him. Openness to God comes through prayer. Openness to God develops through obedience. Openness to God seeks truth. Don't hide from God, but be wide open to His presence and His will for your life. For with that open spirit, God gives a saint a deep-rooted, authentic power. It's like the root of a system of a mighty oak. God and the Christian are entwined together, producing phenomenal power to do things beyond our wildest imagination. It's the power to resist temptation, the power to say no to those things in our life that would harm us. It is the power to show love when it would be easier to not at the moment. It is the power to be an intercessory prayer warrior on behalf of others struggling in their spiritual, or physical, mental, social, economic, or emotional walks in life. It's the power to have mercy when deeply hurt by others. The power to have faith when the situation seems foggy and desperate. Power to act beyond the paralysis of the circumstances. Power to praise and honor and glorify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So to once again paraphrase St. Paul in Romans chapter 1, to all in the world who are loved by God and called to be saints, celebrate today the mighty acts of faith and love poured out from God on ordinary people like you and me, giving us God's sainthood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.